Hi.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
Marisol, you doing well?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for
Okay, so how was your week? It seems so brief. I mean, it seems like you just talked.
You know what's funny about that? I told Marisol just before the call, I feel like I talked to Rob yesterday. I said the same thing. It's like, wow. I feel like I talked to him yesterday. I mean, this is a new segment and it'll bring up other questions, but really I'm doing the same thing, that I was doing last call, slowly moving money over to fee-based. I'm in that transition. Setting people up for financial plans. I mean, that's what I'm up to, Same as last week.
Okay, we talked about, though, that we were going to move forward with the folders, right?
Rob, I have to be blunt with you. I have not done that.
Okay.
I have not passed out any folders yet. And in fact, one of the things that I mentioned to Marisol is, man, I got to get on this. I got to get on the folders. But it's just really a continuation of moving money over to manage money, setting people up for financial plans. That's really what I've been up to. I haven't really, well, I've had one in-person meeting. The rest has really been over the phone.
Okay. Well, just put that into your model, because
Yes.
we spent enough time on that last time to, we beat that dead horse. So
Yes.
let's move on.
Yes.
This is the first week of acquisition, so we moved pretty quickly through segmentation and organization because we'd already done some weeks prior to you really getting engaged. So the acquisition part is the part you're going to love because this is what your, this is your natural realm of enjoyment. You're a great marketer, and so you're going to love these ideas and use them in all your business, in both businesses. So what we talk about in week nine is building your pipeline and how you do it using the models that we have learned to love because they are for more sophisticated clients. This is how large producers bring in their best clients. And yes, they do cold call occasionally when there's money in motion. But most of it is through introductions. And we go through seven different strategies for helping you to understand the model, which you probably intuitively have used in one form or another over the years. Any questions from the video on week nine?
Look, the question that I have is once I have a prospect, and for me, a suspect is not a prospect. There's a clear difference.
Of course.
I think that when I have a suspect is anybody who I think might be interested and might have money, and they go on a list. A prospect for me is somebody who I've sat down and talked with. I've given them my elevator pitch, so to speak, and they've shown interest. And now they're a prospect. Okay? I guess it's how long do I keep them in my pipeline? I mean, one part of me says not very long.
Well,
They're either going to fish or come bait over the next 30 days or what have you, and then you dump them. Okay? The other part of me says, well, this may be a longer process. Maybe it's sending them an email, touching base once every few weeks or once a month, how you doing? They kind of linger for a while, and then maybe they become business, and then you eventually dump them if you really feel at one point they're no good. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think, Al, it should be a much more systematic process than that, okay? I think one guy that would take 6 meetings to close a client, 6 separate meetings, each one with a specific purpose. We both agreed that that was too long. So
okay.
he cut it down to 3 meetings, and in 3 meetings, he could close people. What you want to do is you want to build a process
okay.
of what happens in the first meeting, what happens in the second meeting, what happens in the third meeting. Okay,
okay.
Not emails and not an occasional phone call, or it isn't a random process. It's a matter of how long does it take for the person to have the confidence in you that they're willing to do business. And the more, you know, the more regimented, the more ritualized, the better your presentation, the better will be your closing rate. So none of it should be casual. None of it should be off the cuff. It should all be really planned well, and it should encompass exactly what you want it to encompass at each meeting. So it's just like, you know, we have those 5 steps for developing a center of influence.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing. I mean, you meet somebody, you know, you get an introduction to somebody. The first meeting is you're interviewing them to see if they're a good fit for you and your team. They're interviewing you to see if you're a good fit for their family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're doing in the first meeting. It's a get to know you meeting to see if you like each other and have reasonable amounts of affiliations. So here's how the first meeting goes. After the first meeting is, why are we the same? Okay? What do we have in common? That's why when people meet each other at a cocktail party, the first thing they ask is, you know, are you from around here? Did you go to school here? Is your family from here? They want to know something that they have in common with you. They're trying to affiliate with you. They're trying to say, we're the same. So the more you can identify things that you have in common, the more you're going to have a chance of having them trust you right off the bat, okay? So so that's where you spend the first half of the meeting is, what do we have in common? The second half is, why am I different? Why are you different? So the first is, why are we the same? And the second part of the meeting is, why are we different? Meaning, why are you different from every other person in business? What makes you so special? And then once I find out why you're special, then I'm going to tell you why I'm special.
Okay.
Okay? We call it differentiating yourself in the market. If you don't get to that point of having them like you and trust you where you think they'd be a good friend or a good fit for your practice, then you might as well get up and leave, right? It's not going to work. The guy's a jerk. Okay, so you get up and leave. Love you, bye, see ya.
And we'll let me stop you for a second, Rob. So
yeah.
when you get to this type of meeting, it sounds to me this guy's probably like a referral of some sort, right?
They all should have some reference to you. I mean,
that's why you're there. Got it. Okay.
Okay. You met him at a party with other people that you have in common, and you both agreed that it was worth it. It'd be fun to have lunch together. It'd be fun to have a coffee together. For some reason, you decide to get together. That's where you're initiating it.
But that meeting should not be in my office, for example. It should be, like you said, lunch or coffee or
Yeah, it's a social contribution.
Gotcha. Now, let me also ask, would this be not so social that I'm with my girlfriend and he's with his wife or girlfriend? That's too social, right? Then you're not getting, that's just the number one, what we have in common.
That could be a meeting, but that would be a very social meeting where you would never get to why are we special.
Exactly.
Okay. It would all be social.
Gotcha.
So the social part is not illegal. You can take as long as you want in the socialization, which is why could we be friends?
Right.
Because we have something in common. That can be two social situations. That's what
right.
you do. You do that well. So don't think you have to, you know, you can't do that. Of course you can. You say, hey, you know, we had a great time tonight at the cocktail party. It was great to meet you. Why don't we take the girls out and have dinner? And they'd be like, yeah, cool. And so, great. That's the setup, okay? And then you go out and have dinner, and you had a great time, and you're basically asking for another date at the end. You say, you know, I had so much fun tonight. Why don't we have lunch? Why don't we play golf? Why don't we do this? Why don't we have coffee? I'd like to get to know you better and learn more about your business.
Great. Okay.
That's what you say.
Yep.
I'd like to get to know you and learn more about your business.
Okay.
You know, we're both businessmen. We both know what we do. You know, I think it might be a good fit. Let's talk. And so you do that, and he says, well, I'm already doing business with Joe Blow, but as long as it's not the same firm, he's a prospect, assuming he has the money, right? Assuming he's in the internet social circles, he probably has the money. So that meeting is he really a prospect? Is he just going to be a friend? Is he just a good guy I can use? And when you find out that a guy does business with your firm or another firm and he's all set, he's not really a prospect, he can still be a center of influence. Don't forget that. If you like him and he likes you, but he's stuck because his brother's in the business, make him a center of influence. Not his brother. I mean, he's probably always referred to his brother, but. Let's say it's an old college friend and the guy's thinking about retiring in 3 years. He's not in love with the guy, but he can't leave him, right? He can't leave him, but he can help you, you know. I just got done with a guy, you know, another FA, and he said, well, I had this guy, I thought he was a good prospect, he's really rich, but he's all set with the guy in Boston, and he's really entrenched. I said, turn him into a center of influence. Everybody knows 200 people. The guy's 80 and he's rich. Multi-zillionaire. Make friends with his friends. Get him to introduce you to everybody. Somebody's going to, you know, you get one of those guys out of 10 and it's a, you know, it's a $20 million client.
Right.
So everybody's a prospect, you know, a suspect until proven otherwise, and then they're a center of influence. And if they're not, then forget about them. Okay, so let's say you decided that you've done the social thing, now you've done the business thing, you sat down, you had coffee, you had lunch, and it looks like it's a good match, okay? The next meeting is either in his place, where you get to know him and his business, and you really talk about doing business together, or you bring him to your office. And introduce them to your staff and your team and have a nice and have a real and show them what you do and how you run your practice. And that's that could be the close right there.
Okay.
You hand them the folder.
Let's say he stays on the fence.
Nothing stays in the fence. No, you want to make them a center of influence, a client, or bye-bye.
Sure.
I mean, a guy says, you know, hey, turn him into a center of influence. He won't be a center of influence and he won't be a client because he can't make up his mind, then he's not a prospect, right?
Okay.
Think about it, right? If a guy likes you, but he can't do business with you right now, he's got to wait to you, he can be a center of influence. And if he won't be a center of influence, then he's not convinced you're the right guy.
Okay.
So now, so that, see what I mean? That gets you, the other one is to pull this 90-day free look thing, where the guy says, you know, I'm kind of stuck. I've been doing business with this guy forever. And, or you say, hey, you know, do me a favor. Be a client for 90 days. He says, what are you talking about? He says, let me set you up with what it'd be like to be a client of ours for 90 days. At the end of 90 days, you decide whether or not this makes sense for you. Whether or not this is that much better than what you're getting now. And if it's not, fine. Stay where you are. But if it is, then move your business.
And he gets the mini-me folder and the monthly email, and et cetera.
He gets everything. The agenda, the folder, he gets everything. You do a, you know, you just do a little preliminary financial plan for him, and then you do an agenda. You talk to him. You talk to him 2 months on the phone, and then the third month, you go to his house or to his office in person, and you bring him into your office. Bring him into your office and have a meeting and close him.
Okay.
So if they won't do that, then again, they're not a prospect, right?
Right. Okay.
Okay, so this is, you see how everything is a process, though? It's not an email here or just there or, you know, getting on a list or...
Hey, I love it, man, because I come from the school of you're in or you're out.
Right.
That's my school. So
right.
I don't like to chase people around. I don't like it. You know, it depresses me and it's not for me. So I like
right.
to have a system where I know boom, 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 or next, or you're in.
Well, Dick Green was a big producer in Boston and I knew him well. And he said, Rob, there's nothing more depressing than calling people that have said no to you 5 times.
No doubt about it. I would do that early on.
Right.
That sucks. Yeah.
So you really, do you see how you're giving him many opportunities to say yes, though?
Yes.
You're giving him opportunity to say yes about being a client. He says, no, not right now. Then you say, opportunity to be a center of influence. That gives him another opportunity to say yes. You give him opportunity to say yes in the 90-day free look. I mean, if he doesn't say yes to one of those, he's not a prospect.
Gotcha.
Okay. I love the one about center of influence. I did that. Okay. I found so much pleasure in taking, this sounds terrible, but getting introductions from clients that did business with my own firm. It was the greatest thing in the world. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the guys were too lazy to ask for an introduction, so I did, you know. It was great.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got to be a little, I'd probably be a little sensitive to that today, a lot more sensitive than I was then, because of the politics of it. You don't want to get into a jumping contest with somebody because of that.
I don't need to. I have a big network out there. I don't need to.
Right. So if they're doing business with your firm, you say, great, see you later.
Let me give you an example of today. How would you work this? So this guy, I'm too late to the show. I can't believe it's taking me this long to start working my own neighbors on my lake. I live on a beautiful lake in Miami called E Lake. They're all million-dollar and multi-million-dollar homes. There's 116 people live on that lake. So I went to the last lake meeting, and the guy who's the president of the lake association says, I'll be retired in January, and I want to retire from being the president of E-Lake, too. So I'm looking for candidates that would like to take this over. And, you know, I want to start a website and do the different things. So I went over, shook his hand. I'd actually met his wife. She'd come to my house for a Christmas party 2 Christmases ago. And he knew who I was. I have one of the prominent homes in the lake. And he said, yeah, I love your house, and let's get to know each other. So I invited him for lunch. So he came by today, introduced the mayor. So we went out to lunch, had a great lunch. He let me know that he had a big Northern Trust account, but he closed it, and now he's just sitting in cash in another account in Connecticut. That came from him. He just blurted it out. And I didn't really kind of jump on that. I said, all right. And I talked to him about U-Lake, and he gave me the history of my own home, which he knew, which was pretty cool, and the history of the lake. And this guy's a big-time center of influence. He really liked me over lunch. He said, look, I have a group that drinks non-blended scotch on Fridays after work. Would you like to jump in? We call it the 429 Club. I said, I'm in. So he wants to introduce me to other people. Definitely could be a COI, no doubt about it. Okay? And where would you take it from here? Like, what would you do with this guy?
Well, you see, he's not with Morgan Stanley, right?
No.
Okay.
He's my neighbor.
Okay,
he's 300,000.
Yeah, I thought you were going to end it by saying, oh, and by that way, that cash is with Morgan Stanley. And
no.
You're good. That's your business. That was a green light. That's all green.
Definitely like me. I didn't want to jump on my elevator pitch now because I know there's going to be follow-through. There's going to be scotch on Friday and maybe another lunch. Okay.
Right. Let him, I mean, let him pull, he's going to pull you in. I mean, you played it just right. That was great. You're going to have lunch, you're going to have scotch on Friday, and then he's going to say, hey, let's talk. Tell me what you're doing. You know, tell me what you do and how you do it, and blah, blah, blah. Because he likes you. I mean, you won. You just won. Okay? So just play it that way. Wait, just give him a little Heisman for, you know, a little bit, you know, which is, I am, you know, things are good. I'm really successful. We're so busy. You know, it's amazing how well my clients are doing, even in this market. It's just amazing. And he's like, hey, what about me? You know?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Just give him the old Heisman, you know, give him the old stiff arm a little bit. And say,
okay.
Don't be too eager with a guy like that because he did everything right. Now he's gonna be coming after you. See?
Yeah. Part of the follow through is I told him, look, I don't think I'm a candidate to be the president of the association because I have a lot of irons in the fire, but I think that I could be like the vice chairman.
Yeah.
I think I could give an assist because I don't know the other people at E-Lake. By the way, part of what I want to do is be the vice chairman and get to know 116 homeowners on E-Lake. And that's
right.
A fabulous network right there.
Right, right. And that's the situation where you're interested in them, their family, their kids, and they kind of push you for information. So you ask them about their business. So, if you said to me, okay, so how do I follow up with this guy? Have another meeting and talk about him. You know, I'm really interested in what you want to do, and you talk about your websites and blah, blah, blah. So have another lunch and talk about his website and how many, you know, you have a list of people you could refer him to help build his website, and then what else do you want to do, and what are you thinking about? Tell me about
I want up that. I don't have a list of people. I have a marketing team that works for me full-time that'll do it.
But you see what happens? You're doing all this for him. It's all about him.
Right.
At some point, he's going to say, hey, let me, you know, can we do business? You know, what do you do? How do you work? Well, you're kind of demonstrating the whole time how you work. And he's loving it. And now he's just like, hey, you know, am I big enough for you, basically?
Right.
Okay, so, you know, and you want to say, you know, I work with a limited number of families. It's kind of a concierge-type practice where we give extraordinary service to a limited number of people. And, you know, it's an awful lot of fun for them and for me, and we really have done extraordinarily well. It's been amazing. And he's like, okay, tell me more. And you're like, okay, now green light, green light.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
So I think you're playing it. You're doing it just right. You've great instincts, and you've got the skills and the network, and so.
That's
right. No, you can. What I can do for you is just feeling. See what I mean? What I can do for you is I can say, okay, three meetings, boom, boom, boom. This is what you do. This is the way you frame it. This is. But your instincts are really good. You're doing all the right things. But you don't have, it seems to me, you don't have the plan, process, and rituals around it, which is what I can give you. I can give you that.
Excellent, Rob.
You know, you're going to love the folders, you're going to like the process, and your clients are going to like it because it's structure. You just need some structure around your creativity.
Okay. Excellent.
Cleaning up your pipeline, you just talked about that. You know, we don't want any maybes in there. You know, we'll take a yes, we'll take a no, but we don't like maybes. We want to get rid of the maybes. So
okay.
Clean them up. If they're in your pipeline, get rid of them now. And it's like clients that, you know, get rid of the clients that aren't clients. You know what I mean? People that store money with you but don't listen to you.
Right.
Reassign them. You want people that, you want to have a small book of people that like you and trust you and listen to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
So, do the cleaning up. They're no better than a prospect, okay? They're not even a prospect. They're not even a suspect.
Okay.
You know, they said no, no, no. You might get rid of them. They're bad for your morale.
Okay. I'll do it.
I don't care if they have 5 million. Forget about them. Get rid of them. It's very cleansing.
By the way, I learned that one really early on, that if you start chasing people, you will feel like crap, basically, and you can't do that. You got to keep your head in it. You got to keep your head clean and be a positive person. So you can't get into chasing people business. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
No,
so,
they smell it. They smell that you're needy, you know. It's like a guy, you know, chasing a girl. That, you know, it's the same thing. They feel you're needy. When you're confident and you're not don't seem that interested, they want you that much more. It's the same thing. It's human psychology. Scarcity. There's a really interesting book on psychology and influencers. I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's one worth reading. Occasionally give you books worth reading, and
it's called Influencers.
Yeah, it's called Influence: The Psychology of Persuasion by Robert Caldini. It's CialDini. Influence: The Psychology of Persuasion, and he talks about six things that make people an influencer. Six things that make people want to do business with you. And the last one, number six, is scarcity. They want to do business with somebody that has a scarcity, or they want to own something that has scarcity, or they want to be a member of a club that's hard to get into. So the number one thing is consistency. They want to do business with somebody that's basically reliable. So that's where our plan, process, and rituals come in, the 12-4-2, the folders. That shows consistency. Consensus is number two. Consensus, that there's a consensus that you're a good guy, that other people talk about you, that you have a brand that's worthwhile.
Okay.
Number three is authority. You have a strong, again, back to the, you're an authority in your market, in your business. You have a strong brand. People talk about you in a positive way. Number four is similarity. You're similar to them. Remember what I said? People want to find out why we're the same first. Okay? In terms of, and in our business, this is important for centers of influence. They want to do business with people that have similar clients. So that's where you have your minimum. The larger your minimum, the more attractive you are. Because if they do business with clients with $10 million, they only want to do business with other people that serve clients with $10 million. Number five is reciprocity. They want to do business with givers, not takers. They want to do business with people that are generous and want to help and will give. And number six is scarcity. We want to do, that's why they ask you. They ask you, what's your minimum and how many clients do you have? They want you to have a scarcity of clients, less than 50.
Okay.
So those are the, when you get a chance, read the book. I think you'll find it helpful with things you're already doing, but it kind of helps you to focus that energy on making sure that you're creating that sense of scarcity. And that's why you said, you didn't want to, to be interesting, be interested. Be very interested in them, what they do, everything about their life, and then they'll be very interested in you, and they'll like you a lot.
Excellent.
Okay. So, five steps to expand your niche. We talked about the first two. How to form a mastermind or a niche mastermind group. Let's talk about the steps in terms of getting to know a center of influence and why there's five steps to it and why there aren't two steps. This is where you need to have the patience to be able to go through these steps. So let's say you met this guy and he happened to be a CPA. You think he's a good guy, right? He invites you to this thing on the scotches. And so this is a guy you could make a friend out of, right? So let's say you're just going to develop him as a center of influence. And of course, he could be a good client too, so that's part of what you're doing. But you're really, this particular effort is about developing centers of influence. So let's say that you met him, you liked him. Next step is you go and visit his practice. You want to visit his practice because you want to be sure that you're right about referring business to him. And by making him interview first, you're putting the right emphasis, you're putting the emphasis on the right syllable. This is him trying to convince you to do business with him. So you go and visit him, and you use a term such as this. I want to make sure I know everyone that's going to be touching our clients. So you and Marisol could go and visit them together and get to know everybody in their practice. Anybody that's going to touch our clients you'd like to meet today. And tell us, what do you specialize in? What makes you unique? When I talk to a client, why is it that we should refer them to you? So you're making them sell you on doing business with them. Then they come the next meeting is, once they pass that test, and assuming they do, and some don't, you know, you're not going to get everybody to be friends, and you're not going to get everybody you like, and you're not going to get everybody that is good. We'll say that their minimum is high enough, and they do business, and you see there's a niche for them in your practice. They specialize in things that you specialize in, etc. The next meeting is you bring them to your office, and they show them, you look under the tent and show them how the folder system works, how the scheduler works, how you stay organized, how you develop your marketing initiatives, and so forth. And they'll be, like, completely fascinated, okay? Because they don't do any of this stuff. So that's where I suggest you introduce the five-star model. You know, how you organize your team, why your team is so efficient and effective, and so forth. Marisol's in charge of running things. She runs the whole practice. You just plug in and play. You're like a surgeon coming to work, and the nurse and everybody has everything ready, and you just go in and offer it. The next meeting is then where you explain to them the enthusiastically endorsed model. Because their question is, you know, I'd love to give you introductions, but I don't get that many. And you say, well, here's a way I can help you to increase the number of introductions you're able to give to me and to others. How's that? And then you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. Instead of saying, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, you have them say, can you enthusiastically endorse your FA? And they're going to get one of three answers. Yes, he's fabulous. No, he's terrible and I want a new one. Or he's okay. So, right? About 70%. Yeah, 70% of the time it's going to be he's okay. Yeah. But the other time, 15% of the time it's going to be I love him, he's fabulous. And 15% of the time is I hate him, I want a new one. And that's where your CPA steps in and say, hey, you know, would you be open to an introduction to somebody that is being enthusiastically endorsed? And they go, sure. And then he introduces you. And the final step is where you have your first monthly meeting. It can be a Starbucks, it could be lunch, it could be anything you want. Sometimes you don't want to have to take too much time. But assuming he's a good guy and you like him, you do want to spend time with him. This is not painful. This is what you do for a living, is meet with people like that. And you meet with them monthly. We say out of sight, out of business. So this is not a casual, you know, center of influence relationship. This is good friends meeting regularly to exchange business ideas and to grow your practices. So he's going to have a folder, you're going to have a folder, and your job every month is to find an introduction for him. When you get that mindset right, then you've got supernova right. The mindset is, I don't want an introduction, I want to give an introduction. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're creating value, and you're way overweighting the teeter-totter. When you're giving 10 introductions this month, the teeter-totter is almost on the ground with you, you know, way overdoing it, which is fabulous. But then you get all these other people out there feeling guilty knowing they're going to meet with you next month, and they don't have an introduction, so they're going to work their tail off to get you one. So if you want to get more introductions, you give more introductions. That's how you control it. The only thing you can control. You can't control how many you get. All you can control is how many you give. And if you give a lot, you're going to get a lot. And every time you give, by the way, you give three. You don't give one. Because you have to. Your firm requires it. And that gives you the opportunity to way overweight the giving. So that's why you have to ask that question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, your attorney, your realtor, your commercial realtor, your business broker, your everything, right? And that gives you opportunity for introductions.
Okay.
You didn't know that you didn't know there was going to be this much gold in them there hills, did you, Tom?
No, I knew there would be. But it's a lot, you know, it's a lot. And but I can, I at least can appreciate what I'm hearing. I'm at that level that I get it, you know.
Right. I'm not wasting my breath, right?
No, I get it. I get it.
Good. I know you do. I mean, because you've got talent. You've got skill. And what you need is process. You need a coach. And that's what I'm here for.
Thank you, Rob.
I can't make an Olympian out of a guy that can't, you know, can't throw the discus. But you give me the talent, I can make an Olympian out of you.
Thank you, Rob. You know, I had a question for you on your website and your videos. I went on your website. A lot of gold there too, by the way. I enjoyed that. I was actually on Saturday kind of tooling through it. And however, your weekly videos are not on the website, correct?
Right.
Okay.
You know, that's part of you get the weekly videos because you signed up for coaching.
Gotcha. And what's the website for anybody?
The website, you pay $30 a month. You get that for a year for free.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So it's kind of incremental. You get the, you know, $30 a month gets you the website, $8,000 gets you to me, and then the videos.
I've gone over through your videos several times.
Good.
How long do I have them? Is it for a year, or do they go away, or how long do I have access?
No, you have them for a year.
Okay.
As long as you're coaching. And then once we're done, then I charge... You know, depending on how often you want to meet, you can, you know, I like at least once a month to meet to keep you on track, and that costs $4,000 a year.
Okay, that's fair.
Once a month. And if you want, you know, every other month, I mean twice a month, then it's, you know, like $6,000. So it's not the full $8,000, but it's pretty good, you know. It's a good deal, and it keeps you on track. And, you know, like I have this brand new book coming out in December. We just did a book on teams. So there's a ton of content we're creating all the time with new ideas because we're coaching all the time. We learn from you guys, you know, and then we share. And so it's just a goldmine.
Excellent, Rob. Okay.
Marisol, anything from you? Any questions?
No, I'm good. I'm ready for when Al says he's ready to start producing that book for him. And just
do that. Yep, let's get going on that. That's your job for this week. Get the folders going.
Okay, we'll do.
All right? Okay, guys. Great talking to you.
Bob, stay here. Thank you very much. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
So I guess what I'll do, Al, I'm just going to...
You know what I think the first thing I need?